this is Clark Sinclair. Welcome once again to another episode of the Golden Days of Australian Radio. A gentleman by the name of Harry Vandersloos was born in Adelaide, South Australia, and had a normal school, a normal home life, and when he became a teenager in middle teenage years, decided he wanted to go on the stage. He went to join a vaudeville theatre company called the Tivoli. And that was the start of Roy Rean Moe, or better known to a lot of people as Murray McCackie. He had the typical Australian humour, the Australian slang, Australian expressions like "you dirty mug" and "strike me lucky" and so on. Moe was a man that helped thousands of people through show business. Moe was a man that made people happy. Moe was a man that made people sad. But Moe all the time was there cracking gags, cracking jokes and so on. And Moe, whose real name, as I said before, was Harry Vandersloos, was of Jewish origin and, of course, took many jokes against himself and, indeed, himself as a Jewish person. I want you to listen now to Moe, who, indeed, was a great comedian. Moe created this household situation called McCackie Mansion. We're going to listen to McCackie Mansion with Moe as the householder, his young son Harry, Spencer the garbage man, who was the garbage collector, Lasho the man from next door, and his brother-in-law, Horrible Herbie Burgess. Along with all the sound effects and the laughter, we go to McCackie Mansion. And then we'll follow that with Roy Rean Moe trying to tell a story that he tried to tell over years of radio entertainment about the barmaid and the butcher, because that became the butt of many jokes, the barmaid and the butcher. So, let's listen in the golden days of radio to Roy Rean Moe.
Hey, Dad! Where are you, Dad?
Here I am, young Harry!
Hey, Dad, where have you been?
I've been out getting the Whitney supply of cigarettes.
Oh, what brand are they?
I don't know, Harry. The mugs have smoked them too far down.
Oh, while you were out, there was a most important phone call for you.
Yes?
And it wasn't a local call either. It must have been from overseas.
How do you know, Harry?
Because the girl said, "Mr. McCackie, please," and not, "Hey, can I speak to the drongo?"
Oh, blimey, look, I ain't speaking on the phone. My friend said they could never hear me.
No wonder, Dad. When you hold the phone in front of your nose, your mouth is yards away.
Harry, cop this. Are they going to ring back?
Yes, I told him he'd be home in 5 minutes.
An overseas call, eh? I wonder who it can be.
Hello, Maui.
Oh, blimey, it's Honorable Irby. I'm very quick on you, Honorable. You gave me some corn cure and said it was good.
Well, wasn't it good?
Look, I never tasted worse.
No, Maui, you rub it on your feet.
What for?
For your corn.
Well, the corns I have aren't on my feet.
Hey, Maui, I want to use your phone.
Well, you can't. I'm expecting a very important overseas call.
True. I wonder who it can be.
Maybe His Majesty wants to honour me and give me a title. How would I be honourable? Baron Moe McCackney of Botany.
Hey, Maui, if you became a baron, how would our players address you?
Very simple. As you approach my presence, you would bend to me, bow low, and say... Oh, slightly lucky. It's Mr. Lashwood. Mr. Lashwood, if you want to use the phone, you can't, because I'm expecting an overseas call.
Oh, is it a confidential message by telephone?
No, no. It's a love letter by a carrier pigeon. Mutton bird. Of course it's a confidential message. And I can just see him now standing in the phone box, dropping his two slugs in.
Oh.
Mr. Attlee, the Prime Minister.
Why would Mr. Attlee be ringing you up?
Promise to ask me why I didn't show up at the royal wedding.
Hey, Maui, this call mightn't be from London at all.
You're quite right, Honorable. It might be from Fiji. Maybe Artie Wang wants me as leading man in the Blue Lagoon. But I'll knock it back, of course.
Knock it back? Why?
I hate anything blue. Oh, but I suppose I'll soon get wind of it.
You get wind of what?
Little me. Sent to the garbage can.
Ah, it's Spencer. Come in, Spencer, dear, and bring your Chinese playmate with you.
Which Chinese playmate?
Yu Pong.
Ah, oh, Mr. McPhee, you always make me titter. But I must tell you of a new innovation on my garbage cart. I have a bell on it.
A bell, eh? I bet it's a humdinger.
Spencer ring a bell in front of his garbage car.
No, no. He carries a red flag in front of the Sydney tram. Long shaker, get out.
Hey, what have you popped in for, Spencer?
Well, strictly on chenille, Herbert. I want to make a phone call to my kin.
Oh, how lovely. Who is she, Spence?
One of the most stalwart, the most upstanding police women in the force. And in her uniform, she's very la-di-da.
Oh, so Spencer's checking square with a lady copper, eh? I'm awake. Half the time she pinches him, and the other half, he pinches her.
Well, you'd better hurry up and use the phone, Spencer, because McTeckie's expecting an overseas call.
Oh, what a coincidence. I had an overseas call last night.
Where from, Spence?
My sister in Manly.
Oh, yes, I met her. She's the one who took over you around at Christmas. Dirty Candora, the mob used to call her.
You know, I still can't think who this overseas call might be from, Maui.
It might be from Hollywood, from the Stage Door Club. I wrote a love letter to an actress I'm shook on. Dame May Whitty.
Oh, Miss Hickey, did you lose your art at the Stage Door Canteen?
No, no. I lost my kidneys at the Homebush Abattoir. Cat leap.
These mysterious messages are so nerve-wracking, Mr. McPhee.
Yes.
The last time I got one, I was so distraught, I spun round three times and fell head first into me garbage. It was Nicola.
Oh. Hey, what was your job in the army, Spence?
Oh, the same as in civil life, but with variations.
Well, strike like a listen. This phone call might be from the music publishers about a song I wrote. The New Zealand Raspberry.
New Zealand Raspberry?
Yeah, the Maori Farewell. Oh, bloody good. Don't go. Listen, here's the call. Here's the call. Now, stand back, everybody. Stand back.
Yes, yes.
And give me air. Especially you, Spencer. Hello? What's that? Oh, yes. New York calling. Yes? Yes, yes. Yes, this is Murray McCackie. Yeah. What's that you want? Hey? You dirty mug.
Why, McKenzie, what did they want?
A donation to the Arab Relief Fund.
Let's hear another of his Barmaid and the Butcher sketches.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, I will endeavor to tell you a story sent in by a Mrs. Currier Melbourne. In case you haven't heard the last two shows, the title of this little story is...
The Barmaid and the Butcher.
Oh, strike me lucky that mug's here again. Well, sir, I hope that having sent you a little piece, you will now permit me to tell my little story.
Go ahead.
I shall.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
You will.
And hurry up with it, mug.
Hey, don't you call me a mug. The man that takes me for an Alex, no fool. And let me tell you, son, I can always get a quid when I want it. The Barmaid and the Butcher. Once upon a time, there's a dear little barmaid, and her name was Harriet. Harriet St. Ledger.
Why was she called St. Ledger?
She was born in a saddling paddock.
Ah, you're crazy. You ever heard of anybody being born in a saddling paddock?
Well, I know one.
Who?
Barbara. As I was saying, a mother called a Harriet.
Whose mother?
Barbara. Oh, strike me lucky. Look, you got me all bamboozled. I don't know what I'm saying.
You're telling me. Anyhow, what do you know about Burnborough?
I know quite a lot about him. He's had 16 starts, and he was only beaten once when he lost by a nose.
Yeah, it's a pity he didn't have yours.
Yes. Oh, this is lovely. Oh, this is lovely. This is. For 3 weeks now, ladies and gentlemen, I've been trying to tell the story of the barmaid and the baker.
Baker? What happened to the other bloke?
He's away on the butcher's picnic. Put that in your buttonhole and smell it. The barmaid and the butcher. Once upon a time, there's a dear, sweet, a sophisticated little barmaid. As a matter of fact, she was a great nature lover. Every morning, she would spring out of bed, run to the window, and breathe in the beautiful, sweet, fresh air until her mother said...
Pull your head in!
Oh, this is sickening, positively sickening to an artist of my caliber. For 3 weeks now, I've been trying to tell this story. Every week, I start off like a gentleman and finish up like a lad. But next week, it's going to be different.
Yeah, next week, you'll start off as a lad.
I'll drop this mug in a minute. Look, I'll drop him cold.
Oh, yeah, who will?
Look, I'm warning you, son. I've had enough. The management have had enough and...
Yeah, and the audience has had enough.
This is the end. Absolutely the end. It's a rule I'm an even-tempered fellow, but I've done me blocked.
All right, get on with your story.
Thank you. It's nice to have somebody who wants to hear me. Oh. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And without any further ado, I will entertain you with the story of the barmaid and the butcher.
Oh, not again.
Oh, so you're back again, are you?
Yeah.
I think you must be drunk.
Well, you don't think I'd be if I was sober, do you?
The barmaid and the butcher. Once upon a time, there was a dear little barmaid called Effie. So you know the story, do you?
Yeah, and I could tell it a darn sight better than you do.
That's very interesting. So you could tell it that to me, eh?
Any mug could.
All right. Step right up here onto the podium, will you please?
Onto the what?
The podium. That's Point Piper for platform.
Okay, I will.
Well, come right up here. Now, come right up.
Yeah, what happens now?
You go right ahead and tell the story of the barmaid and the butcher.
All right, I will. Ladies and gentlemen.
Now, just a minute. How do you know they're ladies and gentlemen?
What do you mean?
You said gentlemen. For all you know, those Alex in the front row might be a lot of raw mugs.
Hey, hey, they're my brothers.
That's what I mean.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to tell you all the story of the barmaid and the butcher.
Oh, that's lovely. That's beautiful, that is. You can't even speak good English. It's not Hughes Hall.
No?
No, it's Hughes Hall.
The barmaid and the butcher. Once upon a time, there was a dear little barmaid called Effie.
Excuse me, old man, but you want to put more emotion into your voice. Like this. Once upon a time, there was a dear little barmaid called Effie. You see, my voice is soft, sweet, and soothing. You sound like a raw prawn calling to a plate. Now try again.
The barmaid and the butcher. Once upon a time...
Now, that's right. Now, get emotional.
All right.
Go on, get emotional.
Once upon a time, there was a dear little barmaid called Effie.
Gosh, you're wonderful.
Am I?
Yes. Kiss me.
Do that.
Don't you like me kissing?
No, I don't.
Well, the barmaid didn't object.
Didn't she?
No, but the butcher went a bit crook.
Oh. The barmaid and the butcher.
Not so loud, old man. Softer, softer.
Oh. The barmaid and the butcher.
No, softer still. Much softer.
The barmaid and the butcher. Well, is that soft enough?
No, the monks can still hear.
Oh.
Put that on your false teeth and click it.
Now, listen, give me a fair go, will you?
Certainly. I've always endeavored to be courteous to an artist of your size... strength and smell.
The barmaid and the butcher.
I want to do your block on.
I'm not doing my block. The butcher was trying to sell that thing he chopped his meat on.
Oh, he was doing his block.
He was doing. Now, the barmaid and the butcher.
Listen, old man, I think you're in a rut.
The barmaid met the butcher. She looked up to his eyes, and what do you think she said?
What?
Kiss me, darling, kiss me.
All right, but you went crook last time. my big moment. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without interruptions, the story of the barmaid and the butcher. Oh, strike me lucky I've been bamboozled again. I'll be here next week.
And I'll be here next week.
And if you are, you get somebody else to kiss you. Good night, Mug.
There he was, Harry Vandersloos, known as Roy Reen Moe, Moe McKechnie, in today's golden days of Australian radio. Roy Reen Moe, a great legend, in fact a legend in Australian theatre and Australian radio and indeed movies. Join me next time when I present another episode of the golden days of Australian radio.